All right, 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is a message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Amen. Sorry, let me catch my breath for a moment here. Okay, so we're going to start a new book. And I think we're going to finish it this week before we get to 2 and 3 John. So John is the author here, and this is John the Beloved. John's life is basically broken up into two segments of his life. It was John as the apostle that goes all the way through until the ascension of Christ as he goes back to Jerusalem. And then there's a period of John being the elder. And so there has been some controversy as to which one of these actually wrote this section of the book. Is it the same John that wrote the Gospels? Well, when you begin to read this and you recognize how he writes in first person, it makes it quite clear that this actually is John the Apostle or John the Beloved. Notice that he was the son of Zebedee. He grew up quite wealthy. He had a lot of servants. If you remember in parts of the text in John 18, he also knew who the high priest was. And so John and his family, we like to think that they're untrained, uneducated, all these kind of things. That doesn't necessarily mean they're unlearned. And in John's case, he was kind of aware of the upper echelon of society. I mean, granted, it was Galilee, and so it's a little bit different. So he has kind of a unique upbringing. If you know later on in John's life, he actually is about to be martyred, and God basically saves him. Then he's basically sent off to the island of Patmos, and that's where he writes the book of Revelation. And that was done more so because the emperor was pretty much embarrassed. Because they threw John into a vat of oil, if you're familiar with the story, and nothing happened to him whatsoever. I mean, it's really a miracle. And so out of embarrassment, really more than anything else, they shipped him off to Patmos. Now, in this passage, we know that John is the apostle of love. That's what they call him, the one whom Jesus loved, and so on and so forth. But his letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, are actually quite intense. And it should give us a kind of an idea about what it really means to love. So I think in the world today, we have this idea of love, which equals tolerance. You guys understand what I mean? And so, because people say, hey, why can't you just be more loving? They say, well, sometimes love is manifested in intensity, and not so much in just saying, okay, everything's okay then. Go ahead, do whatever you want. Go ahead and live your life. You know, if you're a homosexual, go ahead and get married. These kind of things. And in the world, a lot of times, we equate love with being tolerant. But we see John here is the apostle of love. He is the New Testament, the preeminent figure of love outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet his message and his demeanor and the way he handles it, he's very, very intense. And most scholars, actually, when they write about these epistles, that's precisely the word that he'll use. He has a passion against heresy. He has a passion against sin. There's a passion in his life against double-mindedness of sin and living holy and these kind of things. And remember, going back, this is the apostle of love. And so for us Christians, don't get sucked into this kind of worldly view of what love is, because it's commitment. It draws people into wholeness and into freedom, and sometimes that means that you may be confrontative. Now, don't be mean. I don't think John's ever mean in this case, and doesn't give you license to be mean, as we notice, especially in the States, where people picket and, you know, all kinds of really horrible signs. God hates homosexuals. God doesn't hate homosexuals. God loves homosexuals. You know, or God hates this and that. And we don't want to be mean, but we don't want to fall into the lie of tolerance, per se. And I'll speak more on that later on. And so let's go to the text here. He tells us right from the beginning why he's writing this particular letter. And he's writing this from Ephesus. Remember later on, he becomes one of the elders at Ephesus. I mean, he's talking about an incredible church there. He says in verse 3, this is what I'm basically writing to you. So we have seen in her, we proclaim to you that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. He's writing as an elder. He's writing as one of the leaders of the church. He's writing to the churches all throughout. And he's telling them, this is why I'm writing this, because I want you to be full. I want your life to be complete. I want you to be aware of what's happening in the surroundings around you. And these are all the things that I've witnessed and I've seen. And so he's saying, my purpose in writing these things to you is that your joy may be complete. That you come into this place of wholeness in your life. And sometimes coming to that place requires you to be a little bit stern as you'll continue on. And I'll get to it. Verse 5. And this is the message we heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. This is the truth, that in God there is light. And there, in him, there is no darkness at all. God is completely holy. And when you understand what holiness is, then you know, we've taught on it here and there, that this is something that only comes from God. And he says, in that place, that there is no darkness whatsoever. And so he continues on. So verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Because God is light. And this idea of fellowship that he touches on in verse 3, and that he'll speak on quite a bit, is this binding together. It's koinonia. It's something that happens spiritually. You can hang out with your school friends that are not believers. That's not koinonia. Koinonia only happens in the body of Christ. It happens in godly fellowship as we gather together. And he says, and if you have fellowship with him, your koinonia with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. He's just saying that is just impossible for us to do. You just cannot do that. You cannot be with God, fellowship with God, and walk in darkness. Because, remember, he is light, and there is no darkness in him whatsoever. John is making a very, very clear case about, really, in essence, about being on the way. That there, it matters what you do. We talked about that with Peter in the book that we studied a little while ago. It really does matter what you do. You can't be doing certain things if you're having fellowship with God. Those things just don't compute. But we are so double-minded that oh yeah, it's easy for me to do that. And, I can go ahead and mess around this way. But God still loves me, and God still cares for me. And I'm still with God. I'm still hearing his voice and whatnot. And I'm like, really? Yes, God still loves you, but it's pretty clear. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I remember I was talking to a guy, I think a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking about kind of different things. And I mean, it was quite apparent that he was just wrapped in sin. Just very apparent that he was not living the life that Christ has for him. But then out of his words, the next words were, oh, God's speaking to me about X, Y, and Z. And I mean, I just wanted to say, no, he's not. But I was trying to be the pastor, so I just kind of listened for a bit. But it's kind of like, no, he's not speaking to you. I mean, you know, if he should, you should, he should speak to you about verses like this instead of all these other flowery things that are going on. Because, again, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But it continues on, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then the classic GIC verse here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will purify our sins, and cleanses, forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is what he does. If we confess, in other words, if we share with God about our sins, then it's really on him. He is faithful and just. It's not we. He is faithful and just. What he will do, he'll forgive us our sins, and then he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he'll help us that we don't sin again. And what it's saying is it's a two-part exchange that's happening. The one part is, let's say, you know, we did something, we confess, he forgives us that sin, and then he cleanses us so that we won't hopefully commit that sin again. And so there's a two-part promise that he promises. We don't have to do one thing. We just need to confess. It's like a two-for-one deal. We confess our sins to the Lord. Whatever we confess, he forgives us that sin. But then whatever unrighteousness is in us that maybe helped us to commit that sin or was involved in that place, he actually now goes another step, and then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so that when we do confess our sins, not only does he forgive, but he helps us not to sin again. It's a great deal. It's not that he just kind of he forgives us our sins, but yet the residue or the impetus or the brokenness or the weakness or however you want to call it that's there that compels us to sin or whatever it may be, maybe our insecurities. But he says he does the same thing. He cleanses us from that unrighteousness. And so this is the value, importance of us to come into repentance, to come and just come into simple confession. I hope that your quiet time, your time that you spend with the Lord, you know, even when you come out to EMP and you pray, that at least the beginnings of your prayers is a place of confession. I don't know if you've ever, when I was a youth pastor, I said, teach our kids this very simple acronym. Do you guys ever heard of ACTS? A-C-T-S? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. A very, very simple way for us to come to that place of prayer. Adoration or worship, and then a confession that we actually spend time confessing our sins before the Lord. And it's not trying to manufacture, manipulate, I don't know if I sin. And I mean, just that you are convicted of and that you offer that to the Lord and then you thank him. And then supplication, which is really talking about intercession, and then you come to that place of prayer as you pray for other people. And then it continues on in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so that the simple response of just really going and confessing our sins before the Lord, of really coming before him and just laying bare our hearts so that we'd be forgiven, one, and our relationship, not necessarily relationship, because God never leaves us, but the quality of our relationship is restored, and then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's kind of a great deal that we get to have. And we simply have to come to the Lord in confession. Just tell him. Confess to him. Let him know areas of our life or things that we've done that don't please him. And that's the really, more than anything, that's the best beginning to a great day. You know, some of us that are married and maybe we have some fights with our spouses or whatnot, or little arguments or little disagreements. You know, the thing that cleans everything up and starts everything fresh and reconciliation, you know what it is? Simply is one of the parties just saying, you know what, I'm sorry. It's so simple, isn't it? I mean, with your heart, right? I'm sorry. And then as soon as you get to that place, all of a sudden, relationship gets restored. It's amazing how. What happens a lot of times is in the relationship is you're just not sorry. you think it's the other person's fault or whatnot and go back and forth. I don't really do anything. And you spend so much energy focusing on that until someone comes to the point of humility and just says, you know what, I'm really sorry. And then life, again, restoration begins to happen. And John is talking about that kind of similar dynamic, but obviously with God. If we think we didn't do anything wrong, guess what? You're still going to be outside. But as soon as we come and we start confessing, because God's holy, He's righteous, there's no darkness in Him at all. And so if there's any darkness in us, we can't draw near. And so it's about coming to that place in confession, and then He comes and He forgives us, He restores us, and then He purifies, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I think it's a great deal. So let's close our eyes. This morning, I think it'd be pretty important for us to start that way. Ask Holy Spirit. This is what I usually pray. I ask Holy Spirit to highlight things in my heart or highlight events or people that I need to make a confession to. Really, really simple prayer. I ask Holy Spirit to search my heart. It's really David's prayer in Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God. And see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And so he would go before the Lord and just say, God, search my heart. Try me. In other words, test my heart. Test me. And see if there be any hurtful thing. And then lead me in the everlasting way. And so maybe we could pray David's prayer, Psalm 139, before the Lord today. Say, search me, Holy Spirit, try me, test me. See if there's anything in my heart, anything in my life, my actions, my thoughts, God, that I've done that displease you, that hurt you, that hurt somebody else. And then just confess and just say, God, I'm sorry. And watch Him cleanse us. Let's do that as we sing.
More than enough for all of with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough, more than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me, more than all I know, more than all I can see. You are more than enough, and all of you is more.
Let's pray this morning. Let's confess our sins before the Lord. Let's pray for our church, that we be in a constant mode of searching our heart. That as a body, that we be a repentant body. None of us are perfect. The church is not perfect. But let's pray for restoration, restored lives, restored relationship with God, that we practice confessing daily before the Lord. And so just go before the Lord, pray for yourself, confess your sins before the Lord, ask God about that unrighteousness that maybe compels us, that brokenness or weakness or whatever it may be that compels us to easily slide into sin. And pray for that corporately as a church too. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends that are sick, that are going through different things. If I could ask you to pray, my aunt, I think the cancer spread to her liver a bit, and so she went and she had an operation, but she has an infection now upon that. So she went back in and to get some more tests. So if you can just continue to lift her up, and all of our other friends that are on this list as well, let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that are sick, but more than anything else, that need that word of salvation. Let's pray that Holy Spirit would just hover over their lives and they would trust Jesus for their life. Let's pray. Let's pray for others in our community that are sick with various illnesses, and let's ask God's healing word. Let's pray for those that are looking for work. Ask God to continue to open doors, and the time that they have now, they would use wisely. Just really continue to grow in God. Let's just pray for just a real spirit of encouragement as well, and that God would provide for all their needs. Let's lift up our friends. So our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for all the churches, the international churches, underground churches, three self churches. Let's ask Holy Spirit to just hover. Let's pray for SP Beijing. The retreat is coming up this coming, a week from, on next Monday, this coming Monday. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. There's about 60 people coming out to the retreat, and there'll be four of us from SP Hong Kong that will be going out, and I'll be preaching and speaking at the retreat. Let's just pray for God's presence, and the Lord will really just touch. The theme is connect, that truly they would connect with God and with each other during this time. Let's pray for the Chung family. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them as they're still on their furlough. I think they're still in the States right now. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. So pray for the Basarabas, Leanne in Beijing. Pray for Edie Clark and her ministry, the kids in Chichihar. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just continue to touch and equip and bless our friends and just the whole country. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with our team, myself, P.U.G. and P. Carol, Pastor Sophia, who's in Australia still. She'll come back next week. Pray for Pastor Nate, Ken, Monica, Bonnie, Sarah, Janella, and Hyunsu. Let's ask God to bless us and to use us powerfully, that we would serve out of wisdom and love and really care for God's people. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship team and the AV ministries. Pray for the leaders, John Moon, Pastor Nate, and Hyunsu. Let's pray for their team and the AV, as Kenny's in charge of that. Let's pray that God would just raise up more musicians. I know there's always a shortage, and that they would have a heart of worship and a real heart just to serve God. I know there's a huge time commitment, so let's ask God to bless them. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight, Bonham, Kennedy, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Opeak Road. And let's pray Holy Spirit would just breathe life into these house churches, and that He would just use the leaders as they lead discussions, that they would just really draw close to God and to each other. Let's pray for them tonight. And let's finish by praying over our men's retreat and women's retreat that's going to happen in a few weeks. So let's pray that our guys and women would sign up, and they just arrange if they're married and have kids and their family situations. And pray for a real anointing during this time, that as the men go through the battle plan and women are journey together, that Holy Spirit would just really have us during these weekends, and that something significant would happen to our lives during this time. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You, God. We bless You this morning. Lord, we thank You, God, that You make Yourself available to us, Lord. That if we confess our sins, God, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we pray, God, that we would just constantly be living repentant lives, Lord, always confessing before You, as You test and try our hearts, God, that there be no hurtful thing within us, Lord, and lead us in the everlasting way. Lord, watch over us, Lord, the rest of our prayer time, the rest of this day. Help us to give all the glory, God, that Your Son deserves, Lord. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great time of prayer. I will see you guys tomorrow.